This is Chubby Ray Live, and here is your host, Mr. Ray Lytle.
All right, welcome. It is Chubby Ray Live. My name is Ray. It's great to be here. I'm in such an angry mood right now. It's unbelievable.
Ha-ha.
I'm so angry. Cubs won, by the way. Good to see that happen. Cubs actually came back. They were losing 5-3, and they came back and won. Or they were losing 6-3. They came back and won 7-6.
Was old Everett Blewett today?
I'm sorry. What are you blabbering about over there from England? What?
Oh, thank you, Ray. I'll blabber on.
What were you blabbering about?
Blewett today.
What happened to Everton?
We were winning again, and it ended up a draw.
Oh.
Terrible. Awful.
Cubs were losing the whole game. Until the bottom of the eighth inning, they came back and rallied. With two outs.
That's what you want.
Two outs in the bottom of the eighth. And then all of a sudden, they loaded the bases and scored like four runs.
Sun shines on the dog ass every once in a while.
You're right, my friend. Except, you know, me... I got to tell you, one of these days, DCFS is going to have to come over and remove my child so I don't beat her. One of these days.
At least,
why
at least
I oughta.
At least you're parent enough to admit it.
I'll tell you something.
Unlike other people.
I've had printer issues, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I finally fixed the printer. It's a big hassle. I had to uninstall one thing and it was such a pain in the ass to get.
Somewhere in the middle of this story, I know Dora the Explorer is coming.
No, it's not that at all. It's so today I'm finishing up the proposals. You know, we're going to start taking advertising on the show, and in order to do the advertising, you have to have these proposals made, and they're a big hassle to make. But, you know, that's work, you know. That's a hassle. So I'm getting them done, and I'm printing off a sample of them, so...
Just watch my camera. I'll make your day better.
My daughter is walking through the living room, and all she cares about, I swear to God, all she cares about...
Please stop, Gorilla.
...is playing. That's it. She gets home from school, play. She's got different chores she has to do. She hasn't done any of them, I don't think. She wants to invite her friend over from school. That's all she's thinking about. She's supposed to help take the dogs. She doesn't do anything. So I ask, I go, listen. I go, hey, she was standing right next to the computer. And I said, can you open the printer door? Yes, Daddy, she says. I said, okay, good. I go, just leave that open. Okay. So I print off the first two pages of my proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finish up and I make the third page. So, you got to remember, I'm across the room. The Cub game's on. I'm sitting at the couch with my laptop. And I've been watching the Cub game and doing the final page of the proposal all at the same time. This is the page, by the way, that tells the advertiser... This is the different things you can get. You can buy a recorded commercial. You can get a live commercial. You can get, you can get the banner. You can get the mass blast of all the. It's just got all the different things that we are going to feature. You know, that are going to be available.
Is my forehead available?
Yeah, I should. Yeah, you're right, and I am going to include that. And
Gully's. And my chest.
Gully's forehead.
Or vanilla
gorilla.
Yeah.
or black bold lettering on Gorilla's sexy chest.
Man beast.
On his man,
we're going to have to figure out a way to get around the hair, though.
On his man beast ginger chest. Well, to the black lettering, it'll just add, you know, it'll add contour to it. It'll
be like highlights nice. And stuff to my chest
yes,
hair.
Yeah. Very nice. So...
Or I we finished can find the third a stylist page. To braid my hair in their name.
Oh,
I finished the third page, okay? And I'm saying, all right, let's do it. And I click print. That's when I look up and I notice that after she opened the printer door,
She put her peanut butter and jelly sandwich
on. No, at some point, she shut it. Slammed it shut. So the computer goes to print with the door shut.
Uh-oh.
And then the E starts flashing.
Uh-oh.
And I have tried...
Emergency.
I have tried everything to get the error message off of the printer for the last 35 minutes.
Hammer.
Nothing will do it. Nothing. I have done everything. You name it, I have done it.
Have you promised to take it out for dinner and a movie later?
I can't even begin to run through the list of crap that I have done to clear this computer of the error that it seems to think it has.
A hammer?
It continues to think that it has an error. By the way, it does not have an error.
Yes, it does.
It thinks it does. There is no error.
It has a little dirt error.
There's an error because someone shut the damn door.
The E error?
And then I tried to, and I, you can't print with the door shut because it thinks there's a paper jam. Now, usually, I never shut the door. The door's not shut, or I wouldn't try to print with the door shut. Pretty much the last time it got screwed up, we tried to print with the door shut. The door got shut because we were taking the dogs out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when we took the dogs out, somebody shut the printer door.
Daughter again?
I don't know who did it, but I'm starting to think that's who it was. So the printer door got shut, and then they tried to print, ruined it, and that's what ended up leading to me having to reinstall everything, a big hassle, and...
Get to do it all over again.
And you know what? And I got to do it, then I got to network it. It's a huge, huge pain in the ass. And anybody who runs Vista, you know what a pain in the ass. You can't just network computers because it won't find the freaking computer. You got to manually enter it. I want us to stab somebody. I'm so angry right now.
Is Gully advertising Enron
yeah,
right now?
Gully is printing on his head to show advertisers. Any potential advertisers that are watching the show, he's showing you how he can print on his head right now.
Yeah, yes, because I'm sure Al from D-Town is going to...
Oh, well, I'm demonstrating the error on my phone.
Oh, he's got... Yeah, that's right. It's what it is. It's a big flashing E.
Yes, that's what it is.
So I'm just...
Very, very poorly written E as well.
I'm so angry right now.
It could be worse.
I'm just livid.
I literally
want to punch someone or something. That's how mad I am. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at my daughter for shutting the door. I'm mad at the Hewlett-Packard company for making a printer that for some reason gets the stupid error message. I'm mad at everything. I'm mad at my daughter because I specifically gave her rules this afternoon that said she is not allowed to be out of her room when I'm doing my show. And what did she just do? Did you guys see her in the background?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, would you like me to show you that your day wasn't that bad, really?
Oh, no, I'm just getting started.
I could tell you a little bit about what just happened
example,
to me.
For example, yesterday, during the show, once again, my daughter is so concerned with playing. She let the stupid cat out yesterday, all right? She let the cat out and then left and went to her friend's house. Now, I was doing the show, so I couldn't, couldn't
see anything. Your cat's hilarious, though.
Yeah, I want to know, but she was outside the whole time yesterday. And then my wife comes home, and she comes home and opens the door, and there's the cat out there just, you know, dying.
Uh-oh.
I tell you, I'm just ready to...
So, did your printer knock at your house and then proceed to throw up all over your doorstep?
Oh, no. My printer did not vomit.
I had some guy who I used to be friends with turn up to mine earlier today, fresh out of prison, alcoholic. decided he would come to my flat to visit me to say, you know, how he'd likes to burgle clothes and how he'd like me to go shoplifting with him tomorrow.
Wait a minute, what are you doing? What are you doing with a friend who just got out of prison? What? What kind of people are you hanging around?
I've not seen him in years. I've not seen him in years. He's turned up out of the blue a couple of times. And today he turned up holding a can of, like, 11% lager, throwing up on my step.
That's worse than my day.
So he said, how about you come out with me, Alan, tomorrow and we will go shoplifting. I've got a picture, I've got a video on my phone of me stabbing someone in the face in a fight.
Would you like to see it? How long has this guy been out of prison?
I don't think he'll be out for very long.
How long has he been out?
Couple of months.
So in a couple of months, he's already stabbed someone and he's been stealing.
Oh, yeah. And he's been vomiting on my stuff.
And he's inviting you to go steal with him. Well, that's
because prison rehabilitates people, right?
Yeah, obviously.
This man is past rehabilitation. Dead man walking.
I had a weird dream. That's about as far as my bad day goes.
Unbelievable.
So princes are nothing, right? Don't worry. You'll be fine.
It's going
to
be a hell.
At least it didn't throw up on your step, and it won't invite you to come and burgle someone.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Look at the bright side.
That is true.
Breathe in, breathe out.
Oh, well.
Quite bemused by the whole thing, so I actually find it quite amusing. So today I will be throwing in mostly anecdotes to do with people who are drunk or tramps.
So wait a minute, how'd you get the guy out of your house?
My other friend who's still here was abrasive, shall we say. We were sitting there and we were talking away and I was like, I'm going to go out soon. I'm going to go somewhere else. Just making excuses so he would like leave. But then he got the message and said he was going to go and walk up the high street and cause some trouble. I said, okay then, see ya. Bye. I quote, I'm going round to someone's house to punch someone in the face.
So he goes to your house and starts telling you how he knows a new way to shoplift and he wants you to help him shoplift.
Yes.
And then he's like, I've got a video of me stabbing someone in the face. You won't see it.
Yep. And, then, and course, he also has the token dog that every drunk has. He brought himself a dog with him too. I'm not lying. This is truth. This is the reality.
Did the dog have a bandana around its neck?
No, the dog was filthy and underfed, and I felt sorry for the poor animal. It has a big black mark around its neck. It looked like the dog had been stabbed. It had it literally had scars on its head, like someone had stabbed the dog instead of stabbing him, because he's already brain dead.
Oh, that's funny.
And this is no words of lie. This is what happens to me. Like occasionally, this person will turn up out the blue.
Really?
Why haven't you called me? Well, because you were in prison and you're an alcoholic and a drug dealer. Yay!
So he just, the guy just wants to come hang out with you.
Yeah, and show me pictures. He showed me with this weird video of him eating a Sunday roast dinner, you know, with chicken, roast potatoes and gravy.
Right.
And look at that girl who come on the picture. That's my girlfriend. And she was like really ugly. And I was like, oh yeah, she's really nice. I was like, well, he's drunk. He used to have a hook nose. He used to have a hook nose. Think of Gonzo. He had a hook nose.
Right.
And he'd been punched in the face so many times, his nose has turned into that of a cage fighter.
Oh, well, wonderful. What kind of people are you hanging out with?
He's like, look at this video. Look at this video. Oh, here she comes. Here she comes. That crackhorse is my girlfriend.
Yeah.
How did you know this guy?
I used to hang around with him. He got into cocaine somehow, and then he got into crack, and then he got into heroin. Then he went to prison, and then he had to leave because he ripped off some very serious people in Liverpool. And he comes back occasionally drunk. And he actually did inform me that he can't touch his own penis with his mouth.
All right, I'm
sure. Well, this is what he said before. I'm being serious. This is what he was saying to me.
Positive that is not a topic of conversation that
Well, a drunk person might
have. I don't know.
Do you know how the conversation come up? He actually said to his girlfriend, I've got the shakes. I've got the shakes. Will you get me, you know, two cans of super strong beer? And she said to him, being, you know, a bit of a slapper, only if you can, you know, kiss your own bits.
And so he told me he proceeded to do so
in order to get his beer.
Oh, that sounds like I bet he learned it in prison. I think he's lying to you. I think he learned it in prison.
I think you know, so too.
You know, if you could do it right, you would.
I don't know. I
is that gay? Is it gay to have your own penis in your mouth?
I don't know. I would think it would.
Dogs do it though.
I think any of them being, and I think it's kind of gay. It's kind of gay when they do.
Well, to be honest, when the dog wasn't sniffing my bollocks, it was trying to do itself all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know.
I think they might be something to it because dogs do it often enough. So my evening was being very interesting anyway.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yes. Although I did earn myself a new PlayStation today.
What do you mean? You earned yourself? How do you earn one?
Well, do you know, I've been having problems with my pad syncing with my PS3. They randomly won't sync, so I rang them up to complain. They didn't get back to me. I rang up again, got some really arrogant, snotty guy. Emailed the chairman of Sony Computer Entertainment, and they got back to me, said, we'll replace your 40 gig PS3 fat with a nice slim one. We'll give you some pads. We'll give you £20 worth of PlayStation Network credit. And we're very sorry, and we'll send you some games as well.
You're one of these guys that loves to get on the phone and complain because you used to do customer service, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're one of these people. You're like my mother. You are. You like to call and complain, don't you? Yeah, see what free stuff you can get.
Yeah.
And then brag about it.
Yeah.
You're like my mother's the same way. You, Gully, you're just like, you're like the drunk English version of my mother.
I also don't want to see you in the shower, Ray.
Yeah, I second that motion.
I don't. I don't know. I mean, congratulations. You do seem to get stuff from it. I think everything you have has been given to you through your complaining.
Well, no, the Palm Prix was given to me for being nice.
Well, same difference. You don't really pay for anything. You get some added to you. That's congratulations. That's a pretty good, as things go, you know.
It's an achievement.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an up-down kind of day. First you're getting free PlayStations, then you're getting vomit on your step.
Right.
You know.
Well, congratulations on getting your free something. I'm going to sell one of my PlayStations after all, one of my PS3s. So I told you the story how I ended up with two.
Yeah, but you need to. It's money.
So I have to sell. I've got to sell one because we're, you know, bro.
You don't have to sell one.
Well, I do. I do because.
Well, how much do you want for it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. I haven't really gotten that far in the process of making a determination yet. I figured at least a couple hundred bucks. I mean, come on.
Is the PS3 Slim? Is that the better console?
That's the brand new one.
Oh well, I'll be getting that one tomorrow. So
the other one, what they did, I told you what they did. They put a new top on it, and they just kind of dropped new innards in it or whatever. You could tell what's going on. Anyway, so listen, we do. I got to talk a little bit about yesterday's show and the massive amounts of people that enjoyed the Sandra Bullock songs. Oh, and I also want to welcome Tony Clifton is in the chat room. Tony Clifton, the alter ego of Andy Kaufman, right? Isn't that Tony Clifton?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Hey, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah. See, I pick up on these things. I think unless if it's a person whose really name is just Tony Clifton. Oh, sorry. But, that's the alter ego of Andy Kaufman. See, I get these things.
I am still
really
unaware.
I put it in a Skype window.
Andy Kaufman.
Don't reveal the magic.
Andy Kaufman was a comedian, all right?
Okay.
Who was in the 70s, was just way out there. I mean, way ahead of his time in doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone got him. Some people just hated him. They thought he was stupid.
I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, and other people think he's brilliant. And I remember watching him on the David Letterman show in like 1982. And he's just, I don't know. He was one of a kind, and he ended up dying very young. And then but he had this character called Tony Clifton that he would play, where he would put on makeup, all right, He put on makeup and an outfit, and he would become Tony Clifton. And everyone would say, oh, that's great, Andy. And he'd go, who? And they'd say, Andy, that's great. Who's Andy? He would, when he was in character of Tony Clifton, he refused to acknowledge that he was Andy Kaufman.
Ah.
So he was that dedicated. He just would refuse to do it. And Andy Kaufman's also a guy that when he died, people believed that he was pulling a prank, that he never really died.
Him and Elvis.
So it for years, people have been kind of wondering if Andy Kaufman was going to just pop up somewhere one day. And he never has because he did die. He died of cancer, I believe. But there are some people that still believe that he is alive.
He is, right?
No, Andy Kaufman's dead.
No, he's a free. You know what? He's a Freemason, right?
He's very.
Let's die.
So how is he in the chat? Is he doing it like, you know, through someone? Is he channeling himself?
It's not really him. What do you mean? How is he in the chat? It's not really him. It's some guy going by that name. What do you mean?
Someone's channeling themselves through the.
Let me just take a phone call. Hi, you're on Chubby Ray Live. Hello.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yes.
See?
It's Latka. Yeah,
that's Latka.
Yes, it is Latka. I call from the island of Nippos.
Hi, Latka.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Is there anything I can do for you, Latka?
Yes. I appreciate that you keep my spirit alive, even though I am actually dead.
That's what. Well,
that's good.
No problem, Latka.
And also, I am a big supporter of free trade agreements.
All right. A free trade. All right.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that has to do with anything, but all righty.
Thanks for that.
Neither do I.
Thank you, Latka.
Okay, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much.
Well, that was nice.
What the hell is that?
Is this just wacky?
That's the worst Andy Kaufman impersonation I've ever heard. And by the way, I haven't heard one in about 20 years. Over 20 years.
Do you think it's a full moon today? Seriously. Because the wacky people seem to be out in force over here as well. The truckloads of.
All right, so yesterday we debuted a new segment on the show. Well, not a segment, but a funny bit. We debuted a new bit. If you missed it, let me play it for you to refresh your memories.
Now, from Rayco Records, it's Vic sing songs about Sandra Bullock's crumbling marriage. That's right, one of America's most angelic voice performers belts out songs about Sandra Bullock and Jesse James' crumbling marriage. Well, you'll hear sentimental hits like this one. Oh, Sandy, well, I'm sorry you married a dirtbag. And he cheated on you, oh, Sandy. Well, I hope he did not catch the clap from that chick with tattoos, oh, Sandy. Or check out Vic summing it all up with a classic. Tattoos on her face. Girl, you better leave him. Nazi stuff at your place. Are you out of your mind? Out of love, you got to leave him. You better kick him in the groin. Tattoos on her face. He's even got newer songs. He kissed the skank and he liked it. And he liked it. And of course, the biggest hit of all, Vic sings about Sandra Bullock's crumbling marriage with special guests, those lovable kids from the show Glee. A skanky chick in the back room. The smell of wine and Nazi tattoos. According to Us Weekly, they shared the night. It went on and on and on and on. Dirtbags screwing up and down the motorcycle shop. Dirtbags screwing in the night. Look for your copy today on a cassette at your local truck stop, right next to the racist trucker songs. It's Vic's Lovely Songs About Sandra Bullock's Crumbling Marriage. Available now from Rayco Records.
Now Sandra's leaving. I hope you don't get that itchy feeling. Third bank people, whoa, whoa, whoa.
There you go. From yesterday's show, that is the Sandra Bullock, Vixing Sandra Bullock songs, which people seem to like it a lot.
It was good.
I got a lot of email talking about it, saying things
nice.
Like, Ray loved the Vic bit about Sandra Bullock. You need to do more of those. Here's one basically saying that the Vic bit about Sandra Bullock was funnier than anything that was on that they had heard on FM radio since the whole thing happened. And then it goes on to wonder why I'm not an FM. Blah 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 blah. There's another one saying, laughed so hard they nearly wrecked their car.
Oops.
Listening on the Stitcher app too, by the way. Yeah, yeah, plug for Stitcher.
Pluggy, pluggy.
Yeah, we get a lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff. In fact, I had some guy ask me if I could put... I made it available on Facebook, too. What I did is I took just the segment, put it up on Facebook so people could listen to it. And I got a complaint letter that said it wasn't high enough quality. Someone wanted to know if I could put up a high resolution or a high bit rate version of it. So I did, and it's available for download if you want to get it. So there you go.
Super.
I'm not sure. This guy was in radio. I don't think he wanted to play it or anything, but I got to be honest. I think he's going to he didn't ask for permission or anything, but I think his plan is to lift the actual singing portions off. But I don't know. I don't care.
Oh, well.
Also got this letter. Ray, you missed something in the lead-up to Vanilla Gorilla's admission that he got treated like a Westminster fire hydrant. When Gorilla was trying to get you to say that you would... when Gorilla was trying to get you to say that you would let your wife let loose on you, he gave the reason why he was micturated on. Or micturated upon. At 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 18 seconds of the show, Vanilla Gorilla said, well, I'm saying maybe it's like a revenge thing. You did something to piss her off. I have to admit, Ray, I have given Vanilla Gorilla a lot of crap for his failed marriage. I now have a newfound respect for the man.
Yeah, it's got to be P-double.
According to what he says, he was actually willing to let his wife expel the contents of her bladder upon him in order to save his marriage.
It wasn't mercy either.
Oh.
Vanilla Gorilla also asked at the end of the show what we learned. I know what I learned. B, cannot a marriage save? I know women and men who have attempted to save marriages through sex alone, and that didn't work. Men and women who tried to save marriages through counseling, and that didn't work. But the juices that flow from that cannot be the saving serum. There's only one thing that I have never heard someone getting a divorce tell me that they've tried. The hot Carl. Maybe that's the secret to saving a marriage, Gorilla.
So
next time any of your listeners are fighting with their significant other, they might want to skip all the BS and get straight to what can save that relationship. The good old HC. Just a thought. That is, of course, you nailed it, from P-Double. So there you go.
I knew it had to be P-Double.
Yes. Well, of course. Who else? Who else?
At first, I thought it was PSP. Because he actually put a time in.
Right.
Yeah, they normally toast that.
But they both are doing that now. Have you noticed that both of them will actually... I'm glad they do it because it makes it easier for us to go...
To find I will go on record now as to saying it was not Mercy that did that.
Oh.
That was actually when I was much younger. And experimental.
I can't think of any. I can't think of any circumstance where I would want that happening to me.
Did you accidentally drink any?
It gets in your mouth.
Golly, number one, why would you ask that?
Because it popped into me. Everybody's getting pee
gorilla
on from
number
the
two, why would you answer that?
Why not?
I'm trying to get people to listen to this podcast. What's wrong with you? If you would like to email me, you can click on the email Ray link at chubbyray.com or send the message. A lot of people just send the message through Facebook. That's the newest way. You can always send right through Facebook and get it to me that way as well. All right. Or Twitter.
I didn't talk about how, like, itching your ears and stuff. I mean, I didn't say anything about that.
You know, there was once, I can't remember the circumstances. I think it was in a business setting. My wife once was meeting with someone who decided to share with the room that you can cure an ear infection.
With pee.
Yes, by having someone urinate in your ear.
It's your urine, and it's the first pee of the day.
We've already had
this discussion before.
Yeah, it was some kind of an old wives' tale.
No, it actually works.
No, it doesn't work.
Yes, it's because of the ammonia in the pee.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Oh, really?
But remember,
it's not like peeing here. It's like a couple drops.
Do you remember how this came up? It came up from someone.
Yeah, Linus had an ear infection.
Yeah, but it came up because my wife was told this. I can't remember where she was. She was. She might have been interviewing somebody or something. They just brought. I can't remember the whole story. But someone brought that up. And you're right. We had Linus do it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he claims it worked. But then again, it's Linus.
Yeah, well, Linus.
It is Linus.
It's possible.
So I love
anything's possible. I mean, wives' tales become wives' tales for reasons.
Ah, you're on Chubby Ray Live. Hello.
Yes, if urine is the cure, then I'm a pharmacist. I'm like the Walgreens.
There you go.
You ain't need no prescription to get a dose from me, you know what I'm saying? Little drop, whole stream.
Well, there you go, right?
Whatever
there
you need, baby.
You don't even need a prescription. You'll take care of it.
That's right, 24 hours a day.
Even come through the drive-thru.
Hell yeah.
The drive-thru.
Thank you very much. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You got to do it as bad as that. I thank you very much. You know, somehow you have to make latka some type of Latin. I thank you very much.
And he sounds Asian when you do it.
Thank you very much. I thank you very much.
Oh, dishonor. Dishonorable Raymond. You dishonor my nation.
God. Seriously, that's what this show has become.
Yes, yep. It has.
That's what we're going through today.
It's Wednesday, Ray. What can I say?
God, I tell you. Yeah, so I was going to have new things to do. I was going to do a Not So True Facts today.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get a chance to get them written because I was beating the hell out of a computer printer for the last half hour. By the way, while I was beating the hell out of the computer printer, the Cubs game got very exciting. I want to point out that I did miss part of the Cubs game the part where they came back because I was messing with this stupid thing.
I'll tell you what. I was a left printer.
I'll tell you what, Ray. You start the thing, I'll start feeding you the not-so-true facts.
It just made me mad. I don't like when I have a plan and it doesn't, you know. I don't like when plans don't work out, so.
You're like Hannibal. You like it when plans come together?
Yeah. I really do.
Well, come on, start the music. I'll feed you the line.
No, because last time you did this, the lines were offensive.
No, they weren't. You read it.
And once
it was the one about Jason Alexander.
Once the music started, yes, and after I said it, I wished I wouldn't have.
Oh, whatever. Just do it.
No. I will write. I like. I would rather write it in advance.
Stop being a sissy.
I'd rather write it in advance.
It can't be worse than anything else.
Come on, Ray.
I prefer to be entertaining.
I'll make it entertaining.
That's all right.
Come on, off the top of my head, I can do this now.
No.
Come on.
No, we'll do it tomorrow. I'll write it and do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow's current events quiz with Hillbilly Joe.
Yeah, really? And you think he's really going to call in? He's supposed to call in. Every Thursday, I write this stupid quiz, okay? I'm not writing it tomorrow.
Don't write it.
That's what I'll write.
He's going to call
in.
He's going to call in.
No, he's not. He won't call in.
He never calls in.
I'm so sick of being burned by that guy. Forget about it.
Come on, Ray. Start the music. We'll just do this. We'll ad-lib this.
I am not.
Come on, Ray.
Nope. Not falling for it. I do have
unbelievable. I love the trust we have going here.
I do have to take a break, though, with this important message on Chubby Ray Live.
And you've been scratching your feet all day. What's the problem?
I don't know, Jack. My feet are itchy, scratchy, dry, scaly, and odorous.
Odorous? What do you mean odorous? Your feet flat out smell like shit.
What the f***? Who the hell are you?
Well, hello, good friends. I'm Radio's Sean Bellett, here to tell you about Fungo Athlete's Foot Spray.
Wow.
You see, Fungo contains a secret ingredient that is proven to cure athlete's foot.
Wow, what's the ingredient?
Hey, quit asking so many questions and let me give you my pitch.
But I really need to know, what is the secret ingredient?
Well, you asked. Take off your shoes and close your eyes.
Oh, okay.
So, how's that feel?
It feels really warm.
Well, that's because urine is 98.6 degrees.
Urine? Did you say urine?
Ah, you're peeing on me.
That's right, sir. Urine is the secret ingredient. Here, wait for the shake.
I can't believe you peed all over me.
Believe it. No need to thank me. You see, urine is an all-natural cure-all with many uses.
Oh, man. Now I'm bending down to tie my shoes. It really stinks.
Wow, Jack. You sure seem to have a horrible dandruff problem.
Dandruff? Here we go again.
No! Stop whizzing on my head!
Man, that guy must have drank a lot. My throat's getting so sore from laughing so much.
Sore throat? Well, here we go again.
No! No!
Looks like I gotta chase one down. I'm Radio's Sean Bellett for Fungo Athlete's Foot Spray.
There you go. I was so inspired by the urination talk that I pulled out a classic. That's good to hear, Jimmy.
What'd you think of that one I just put in there?
Are you seriously putting them up there?
Look,
well, I am too. I'm putting them up as well.
No, none of those.
Oh,
are you serious? That one's funny.
Printers are like Mexicans; neither work. What is that? What are you? Is that what you're getting at?
I didn't do that. It's not what he said either.
Oh, that was Gully. Gully, you write that? That's the kind of filth you're writing.
How dare you?
Not so true facts. Printers like Mexicans. Come on. It's not that bad.
Read mine.
Sandra Bullock started dating Howard Stern out of spite to Jesse James.
That's right. She started dating a Jew.
Yes.
I think my one could be true, though, so that's probably why he hasn't got a woman.
I don't know. I'm not. See, I'll write him tomorrow.
I'll get around to it. Love the trust we got.
I just want to make sure I like to hit a home run with those things, you know? A lot of times that's what people remember. That's what they remember the show for, is that, you know, particular segment. I want to make sure it's top notch. Nothing against you guys. I've used your material, you know. I use your material quite often. So I like to surround it with a bunch of stuff that I've written.
That one's kind of funny, too. Not so true fact.
I am, I'm going to, I'm very busy. I got band practice tonight. Tomorrow I've got the show. Then immediately after the show, the show has to end early tomorrow, by the way. The show will end at 5:30 tomorrow instead of, the show will start a little earlier and it will end a little earlier because I have to, immediately after the first show, I have to record the media show and then I've got softball practice after that.
Busy day.
Thursday nights are very, very busy around here. Very busy. But, of course, I can always take phone calls. 217-883-4667 if you'd like to call. That's 217-883-4667 if you'd like to call. I was going to play a classic morning disaster segment today. As I said a while ago, I was going to start doing that on Wednesdays, and I haven't. But then, now that I think about it, I sort of did, right? Didn't I? I mean, I played the fungo bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So playing the fungo bit, that counts. That counts of me actually keeping my word.
That was funny too.
Yeah, because that was a classic segment. So I actually kept my word, and you know, and I got a topical thing out of it, which isn't bad at all.
Except for the topic's pee.
Well, yeah. If the topic's anything but urine, it'd be better. Topic needs to be. Do we know what happened to Hillbilly Joe?
Apart from them being gay.
Do you want to start conjecturing this? What happened to Joe?
Well, I'm wondering because he's supposed to have been on the show, and he's nowhere to be found.
I'm sure somehow alcohol is involved.
Yep, and possibly jail.
You think somehow he's in trouble for something.
Joe in trouble? That never happened.
Well, I mean,
no.
He misses the show quite often. But he usually shows up on the wrong day or he's some kind of drunk. You know, that's what Joe does.
You know, I think we should get to do this quiz.
And you know, the other problem with Joe is I don't know his phone number to call him. I would just call him.
If he's got minutes.
Good luck with that.
I know a good player for this game, Ray.
What game?
Somebody more reliable than Hillbilly Joe.
What game are we playing again?
Kern and Glenn's quiz.
Oh, okay.
I think we call Goose.
My brother Goose?
Yep. I'm not calling him. You're not calling him?
No, he's another one driving me crazy.
What's he doing?
Because I remember I told you on Easter that he brought his car over.
Right, and that wasn't
in my park and in my parking lot where I live. He, along with my brother Foon, my nephew Tyler, they all went out there with wrenches and a jack on Easter Sunday.
You had a relative named Jack?
No. A jack, a car jack, yeah.
Gotcha.
And they raised up the car and got under it and were working on it.
Well, how's that Goose's fault that your brother screwed it up?
Well, no, but Goose was doing it. That's why my brother went out there.
Right, but that's not Goose's fault that your brother's a...
No. My brother, Foon...
He ruined your towels, not Goose.
He's an auto mechanic, okay?
All right.
And he's retired. He drives a truck now. But Goose knows he's an auto mechanic, all right?
Right.
So Goose did this thing to where he just so happened to be working on his car.
Right.
When my brother showed up.
Right.
The whole plan was rather than ask my brother to help him, which he should have just called him and said, hey, will you help me? He's out there working on it. He just so happens to be, you know, stumbling into him. And then he convinces him to try to help him out. So they're rolling around.
And yeah. It's not his fault, okay. Though.
But I guess whatever Goose was doing, he did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why his car is now parked, once again, in my driveway. Or in my parking lot. He can't even drive it because of something.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, they screwed something.
So have you got to park up further on the street or something? No.
There's a parking lot.
Ah, well, that's not too bad then.
Well, yeah, except it was Easter Sunday, and these guys are rolling around, and they came in, and they got muddy hands all over my house. And, of course, food. We know food ruined the towel. We went over that story.
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever cut you a check for that?
No, are you kidding?
That's never. That doesn't sound like it would ever arrive.
My brother Food's in his 40s. He's 40s. He's never cut me a check for anything. Please. Cut a check.
It's in the mail.
Yeah, come on. Cut a check. Please. I would drop dead of a heart attack if you... You want to see something funny? Go to dinner with Food and look when the bill comes.
Suddenly has to go to the toilet.
No.
Well, I'm just going.
He's so comfortable with not paying. It used to always be excuses as to why he wouldn't pay. Now he just comes right out and he'll go, he'll say, I'll take that. And he'll go, oh, and give it to him. He actually makes a joke about it now that he doesn't pay for anything.
You got to admire his blatant behavior. Yeah. Sorry, that's quite...
At least he's honest like Glenn Miller.
Yeah, you're right. He's very honest.
True. You know what to expect.
Just like the racist Senate candidate. Is that what you're implying?
I'm beginning to think your brother's a racist, too.
Oh, I haven't thought that for years. We should actually call Foon. We should call Foon.
Why are we calling Foon?
I don't know. We should call him. We got a little time.
So you'll call Foon. Anyway. You'll call Foon the guy who ruined your towel, but you won't call Goose.
No, because Goose doesn't want to be bothered.
Who cares?
Said, I know my brothers.
Who cares?
Let's see if we can call Foon.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
What horror is it? It's always some new bad song that he's got on his phone. It's always some new bad rock song. Or some horrible country song.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message
I'll be damned.
System.
I guess he. I guess he's busy.
Can he get a gayer song?
It's Food. He changes the song all the time, and it's always another. I don't even know who the bands are. They all sound alike, you know.
They all sound
just have it like a ring, like normal people.
Yeah, what's
No,
sounds
because
like
He has to have this thing where people where you call and it's some type of screaming annoying rock song. Either Hinder. It's all Hinder or Nickelback or Daughtry or. Cold.
So bad music.
You know,
pretty bad music.
Why can't he get like some Snoop Dogg?
I know, because he just wouldn't. But then out of nowhere, once he had what is it? Something about riding horses or what?
Is it
rappers on horses?
No, some country song about a horse.
Was that to save a horse, ride a cowboy?
Yeah, thank you. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Ride a cowboy.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Big and rich.
I don't know what he does. He's always got these stupid songs that he puts out his answer. I don't understand that.
By the way, I want to point out that I am very disturbed today because my picture is up next to Cowboy Volk.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a ball hat.
Yeah, Cowboy Volk is usually on. He's usually on. Cowboy Volk usually has on a cowboy hat. Today he's wearing some kind of ball cap. You're right.
My whole world has been thrown out of whack.
Yeah. Talk on weird. That's what's going on.
It is very weird. He looks very different with his ball cap on.
Been hanging out with his homies instead of on the ranch.
I don't know why, but looking at Cowboy Volk reminds me of the Timothy McVeigh. They're going to be
making a movie.
No, they're doing that show, the 2 hours of the Timothy McVeigh tapes. Have you heard about this?
Unless they make a musical out of it, I don't think I want to go.
No, it's not a musical. Timothy McVeigh. Before he died,
Ted Kaczynski on ice.
He gave like 100 hours worth of interviews to these reporters, and the tapes have been sealed, and finally they're going to be made public.
Oh, much better,
I noticed that
all is right in the world.
He just put on his cowboy hat. Thank you, Cowboy Volk. And McVay did these interviews, and I think it's MSNBC that's airing it. I think it's MSNBC. But they're going to do a special 2 hours of talking of the tapes. They're going to air the tapes of Timothy McVay.
And who's going to watch it?
I got to be honest. I'm pretty interested in it. They say the whole thing is McVay thinks he's a hero.
Of course he does.
He thinks he's a hero because he killed...
He doesn't think anything now, right?
But you know what I mean? He actually thought that he was a hero, that he deserved some type of heroic place in history.
So why is it that...
Golly, let me ask you. You live in England. Do you know who Timothy McVay is?
Serial killer?
No.
Sort of. Is it? Well, mass murderer.
He wasn't a serial killer.
Well, he killed lots of people.
Timothy McVay was a terrorist.
All right.
He was a domestic terrorist, but a terrorist nonetheless. He was part of this militia group who they got so fired up about the government. They were so afraid the government was going to...
Well, there was more to it, though. There was, he was talking about Ruby Ridge and Waco.
Well, because of Waco and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
But he was so... Something about the government overstepping their boundaries, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Which they did, twice.
Yeah, but come on. There's a lot of people disillusioned, like these Tea Partiers, these teabag people.
Yeah, of course you're gonna call them teabaggers. So
whatever they are, but none of them want to blow up anything, do they? I mean, you know what I mean?
I'm sure there's a fringe of them that would.
You think there are? You think that actually exists?
The fringe is on both sides,
like,
right?
Listen, I would like to think.
So what did he blow up?
All right. So what he did was he ended up making a bomb out of fertilizer and explosives and all this stuff, and he blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma bomber.
He killed hundreds of people, including children at a daycare.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
And it blew the building all to hell.
Crazy guy, then.
And he and his buddies were in this militia group, and they did it, and he basically admits to the crime and then talks about why he did it. And now how he's a hero, and how eventually he was sentenced. He was
executed.
Yeah, he was convicted and sentenced to death and executed in 98, 99, something like that? Whenever it was. He did it in 95, I think, or 96. And he eventually, I forgot when he was put to death, but a few years later.
So the guy's clearly insane.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, I guess, and I haven't heard it yet. I have not heard it, but they're going to air these tapes. And I think it's called the Timothy McVay tapes. I'll have to actually get the title. And it is on MSNBC, by the way, I'm being told.
Yeah, it was 2001.
And so what happened was, he on the tapes thinks he should be treated as a hero. He's not the least bit sorry for what he's done, and I guess there's just, they basically get into the mind of what goes through a person's mind that thinks these things that he thought. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird because it's sort of similar to what's going on. It is his disillusionment with the country started sort of like the way that the teabaggers are now.
Tea party,
whatever they are.
Yeah, I know. You're going to keep saying teabaggers.
They're the ones that called themselves teabaggers, all right?
No, they're not.
I didn't make it up.
No, John Stewart started that.
No, that's not true. They called themselves teabaggers.
No, they're not teabaggers.
I actually remember Anderson Cooper playing the clip when they called themselves teabaggers. That's how everybody started calling them teabaggers, after they referred to themselves as being teabaggers.
Tea partiers.
I think when they realized what teabaggers meant, they sort of changed the,
Well, you would.
To tea party. But it starts out like that, but he was crazy. So it wasn't enough for him to just be angry, he had to take it a step further.
I don't know. I don't know about... Do you realize that he won the Bronze Star?
Yeah, he was decorated, right? As a
very decorated.
Yeah. A war veteran.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know, man. Anybody can go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's not.
He was
not going to help being
in
the army.
First Gulf War?
What's that?
He was in the first Gulf War, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very bizarre. You know what? The whole thing is really weird. But he killed all these people, and they're going to be running this special. And MSNBC they got the tapes through, I forgot how they got it, either the Freedom of Information Act or whatever, but they got these tapes. So I was looking for some of the tapes, and they've got them so hidden, you can't find them anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, they're so secretive with these tapes.
Uh-huh.
They don't want anybody hearing it until they air this special. So, I'd like to play some for you, but they're not even offering up little clips or anything.
I'd be interested to see them tapes myself, so.
Well, I'd like to know, and I guess part of the thing is he was mad. They say he's mad that he wasn't embraced by the, you know, by these militia groups. Like, he thought the other militia groups would hail him as a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was trying to become a martyr. That's why
It's sort of like people who are against abortion. You know what I mean? Like, there are people that they call themselves pro-life. They're like, you know, we're against abortion. Don't want it to happen. And then there's a lunatic out there who will blow up an abortion clinic, kill everyone working there.
Anybody in there.
I think in one of the cases, weren't there people in the building next door that died, one of whom was pregnant?
Oh, I'm sure.
So, which is just ridiculous, because they've committed more murder than any abortion would.
No, yep. That's not true.
But think about it, Gorilla. I mean, the woman...
1.5 million aborted fetuses since Roe versus Wade.
Okay, but Gorilla, they were all chosen to be...
Well, I understand that. I'm not pro-life.
No. What was the one story of... And I want to say it was in Georgia, somewhere in the southeast, where the receptionist was pregnant and she died. So they basically killed that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman was...
surprising.
Yeah. So, all right, it would be like people doing that and then them expecting to be treated as heroes, and the rest of the pro-life people go, what, are you crazy? No.
Exactly.
You don't do that. I mean... For McVeigh, it's the same as, I'll give you this scenario. It's the same as, like, I mean, could you imagine being a Muslim in the United States?
No.
Say you're just like a Muslim. You're just like a regular old, you know. Like, I went to school with some guys that were Muslim way back in the day. They're completely normal. I mean, and by normal, I mean, you wouldn't know what they were until it's time to pray. You'd have no idea. They're just like everybody else.
Yep.
Could you imagine after... I mean, hell, Gully, you live in England. How many Muslims you got running around there?
Well, that's the strange thing.
When you go to London, there's millions of them.
That's the scariest thought, because the people that committed the bombings in the London Underground and on the bus in London, they were homegrown
yes,
Muslims.
But they're very radical.
Scary.
But what I'm saying is, there are billions of people in this world that are Muslim.
Yep, and they're not all like that.
You've got this group of radical, extreme nut jobs.
Yep.
That have committed these horrible atrocities around the world. Could you imagine? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God. Seriously, imagine, say you're a Muslim guy of Middle East descent trying to catch a flight on 9/12 of 2001. How easy do you think that was?
Well, nobody was flying on 9/12 2001.
But you know what I mean. How
they were grounded for 3 days.
All right, well, 9/15, 2001. How easy do you think that was?
I'm sure they were randomly searched.
Yeah, randomly.
Every one of them.
Which today, I got to be honest, I wanted to go for vacation in Phoenix at some point. I'm a little scared to go down there now.
To Phoenix?
Yeah, Arizona passed a law, or is passing a law, that where police officers now have the right to randomly pull over anyone and ask for them to prove citizenship.
Good for them.
Okay, but what about somebody like me?
Who's a citizen? I don't think you're having a lot of problem with that.
Okay, but why should I have to be pulled over just based on the color of my skin?
Well, that would be the 12 million illegal immigrants
okay,
in the country.
What,
well,
is that my
that's the thing that the governments have brought in.
But is it my fault that they're over here?
No, it's not your fault at all.
But I have to be inconvenienced because of this?
Absolutely.
Well, the one thing...
If they're looking for a white, red-headed murderer, and I get pulled over, I don't think I'm going to be all that offended by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a specific case. I'm saying every single person of Hispanic descent can now be pulled over at any time.
Anybody can be pulled over at any time, not just...
Really? Do you think they're going to pull you over in Arizona and ask to see your green card or your driver's license? Gorilla, to see if you're from Mexico. You really think they're going to pull you with your ginger hair
and ginger beard.
And ginger beard with your white skin that gets sunburned if you get near a window too close. You think they're going to pull you over to see if you're a citizen? You honestly think that's what's going to happen?
I think they could.
Since the terrorism attacks over there and over here and all around the world, racial profiling has become the weapon that they use, unfortunately, and I'm afraid we all have to live with it. Okay, it doesn't happen to us white folks that often, but unfortunately that's the way it has to be
for
the foreseeable future. It's an unfortunate circumstance, but that's the way it is.
So you're saying that it's okay?
You're saying
someone illegally being in the United States is the same as someone blowing up buildings and killing people.
I think breaking a law is breaking a law. Why are you distinguishing between the two?
Okay, then let me ask you this. Why do they just pull everybody over on Saturday night? Pull over everybody and see if they're drunk.
They do that. They have the roadside checks.
They don't pull everybody over.
If you go by a checkpoint, they pull everybody over.
They don't pull everybody over.
And I've been inconvenienced many times. I don't drink, so I don't have that problem.
It's wrong. I just don't think you should be able.
It's not wrong.
You're basing something purely on the color of a person's skin. It's not correct.
It's correct.
No, we have laws against that in this country. Thank God we have laws against that.
What?
You're not supposed to single people out based on the color of their skin.
Where is that
based
law?
Based upon the
what law?
Their belief in religion. Based upon
their
sexuality, you're not supposed to be singled out or you're not supposed to be inconvenienced.
Where is the Constitution where it says you cannot be inconvenienced because of the color of your skin?
What
number in the Constitution?
When they start pulling over white people to see if they're from Mexico, then they'll be within the law.
No. What constitution?
The part where it says we're all created.
What amendment number does it say that you can't pull somebody over?
Gorilla, I don't have the goddamn Constitution in front of me. I don't know the amendment.
It's not
in there. Try the Civil Rights
Amendment.
Try the fact that our country was founded on the Declaration of Independence, which declared all men are created equal.
Right, but
unless you're a dark-skinned man.
That's not a law, though.
But it's what our country was founded on. And by the way, you give me time to get through the Constitution, I will find an amendment.
It's not in there.
And I guarantee you, this will be challenged.
I'm sure it will be.
It will be challenged, and...
It will fail.
It will fail miserably.
No. The law will be upheld.
No, the law's not going to be withheld.
Sure it will.
No, but please.
Sure it will.
Not even this corrupt George Bush-picked Supreme Court will... rule in that favor.
I'll guarantee you, because there's no constitutional amendment that says that you can't single a race out.
So you think it's fine if there's a robbery, they can just start pulling over all black people?
Yeah.
You're fine with that.
It's not against the law.
All right.
If it's a black person that commits the crime, then yes. It has to be done
in the United States. In the United States, you are supposed to have a reason to pull someone over.
Okay, let me tell you.
Probable cause.
This is the first time in the United States that the probable cause is simply the color of your skin. And you're fine with that.
Absolutely.
This is ridiculous.
They will pull you over in this state.
It sickens me that you think that way.
In June, in this state, if you come over the border from Indiana, they will pull you over to search for fireworks. Just because you came over from Indiana.
Really, they pull everybody over, huh?
They have roadside checks, just like they do for
good. I hope Trump. When they start pulling over the white trash.
Now, okay.
That you're one of the ones they pick. You're saying that if they just start pulling over white trash people.
That would make you white trash.
On July 2nd. If they start pulling over white trash, you're totally fine with it. You have no problem with that.
About 12 years. Okay, listen to this. About 12 years ago, I used to live in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, his name was Tazwell Lomax.
Yeah.
And Tazwell Lomax used to, he would make appointments with women realtors to view property.
Uh-huh.
And then he would lure them to the property where they were alone together, him and the woman, and he would rape them and kill them. Unfortunately for me, I look like Tazwell Lomax. He's a bigger guy.
Uh-huh.
About 6 feet tall, with red hair.
What's his name? Tazwell Lomax.
Tazwell
Lomax is a great name, by the way.
It is, actually.
It really is.
And I was walking to work.
Tazwell Lomax. All right, you're walking to work. Okay.
I was walking to work one night, and this cop passes me, right?
All right.
One cop passes me, and then all of a sudden, I see him go down about two blocks, stop two blocks down the road, and then suddenly I was swarmed by six cops.
Whoa.
And they threw me in the back. They cuffed me, put me in the back of a squad car to check my ID.
Right.
When they figured out I wasn't the guy, they mm-hmm. let me go. But isn't that profiling?
What did Tazwell Lomax do?
He raped and murdered realtors. Women realtors.
Mm-hmm. So he raped and murdered somebody.
Many people, actually.
And because of that, you think it's okay that anyone of Mexican descent can be pulled over?
In Arizona, yeah, absolutely. It's a law in Arizona.
And you're fine with it?
I am absolutely fine.
Okay. I think it bothers me that you're fine with it.
Why does it bother you that I'm fine with it?
It just does, because I like you, and I for you to be so shallow...
No, you know what? If somebody robs a convenience store and they're black, then they're going to look for black people
right.
to find out who did it.
Well, my view is that this is an unfortunate circumstance.
You're saying that someone being in America.
Yes. If you commit a crime.
Well, yeah, but are
and you're of a certain racial descent.
Listen.
Then they're going to look through that racial descent to find the people who are committing the crimes.
But you're saying that murder and rape is the same as being in the country illegally.
That's why they call them illegal immigrants, right?
Oh, come on.
Look, it's an unfortunate circumstance. Like I said, racial profiling is high and used. Unfortunately, that's the way the law seems
ridiculous.
To have bent to. I don't agree with it, but it seems to be... the way they work now, and that's very unfortunate for everybody.
All I'm saying is if a black person commits a crime and they pull over white people, they're kind of wasting their time.
I want to get more details on this, and I just want to see the legality of it. I'm not sure. I think there are certain ways to tell people who are illegal immigrants, you know?
Yes, I'm sure they have it branded on their forehead.
Well,
there's
certain ways. Yeah. But just to pull somebody over based on the color of their skin is ridiculous.
No, it's not.
It's just,
if you're looking for certain people,
ridiculous.
You pull them over.
It's just ridiculous.
But it's come to a fact over here that policemen in some areas of London especially are afraid to pull people over because they will be accused of doing that very same thing.
Hey, I want to get to this. I want to get to this really quick
Say what you want to say about racial profiling. It works. All right.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm saying...
Well, then go for it.
I'm just saying, don't you think it's wrong?
No, I don't.
It just kind of goes against everything.
It kind of goes against everything that we've done as a country. Ethnicity, you find the people. You don't go to a gay club to find, you know, somebody who I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Apparently,
hey, can I ask you what do you think about Mitch McConnell? This is another big issue that's going on right now. What do you think about Mitch McConnell having this meeting with Wall Street CEOs, and then now trying to stop this Wall Street reform and this this financial reform we're doing in this country? This is something that's pretty big. I mean, it's been out there the last couple of days. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, what happened is they're trying to make it bipartisan because friggin' Obama has to try everything bipartisan. And at some point, somebody has to sit the president down and tell him, they're never, ever, you know, stop being duped. He is like Charlie Brown, okay? He's like Charlie Brown, and the Republicans are Lucy, and they're holding the football.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama goes to kick the football, and they pull it out, and he lands on his ass every time.
And
he really has to stop. He's got to stop being Charlie Brown to the Republicans' Lucy of holding that football by thinking everything is going to be bipartisan, because it is not. So they're doing banking reform in this country. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're trying to get a bipartisan banking reform bill going. Instead of just coming up with one and then trying to get it through. Come up with one, have debate, and get it through. No, he's trying to get a bipartisan. I don't
know. Just because, God forbid, everybody should like.
Well, you know what? Hats off to him, I guess. But at some point, it is sort of Charlie Brownish, don't you think?
Hmm.
So anyway, they're trying to do it, and they're close to getting it done. And then Mitch McConnell had some meeting that was supposed to be secretive with these CEOs, and then all of a sudden he comes back, and now he's against banking reform. And doesn't think we need to put regulations on anything. And it started out kind of small, but now it's blowing up into a pretty big. This is like the next big controversy.
What I don't understand is, why can't they just let the banks succeed and fail on their own merit?
Because we put the rats in charge of the cheese and they ate it. That's what happened.
All I'm saying is, instead of bailing them out, we just let them fail.
Yeah, but. If we would have let them fail, what would have done to everybody?
Well, then the smaller ones that are below them. Let's say you've got a small sized bank, a medium sized bank, and a large bank. Large bank has crappy practices, and then all of a sudden they fail. Well, then the medium sized banks get the customers from the large sized banks,
yeah.
And then they become larger banks, and the practices they've used will allow them to become a better organization.
I'm going to give you how radio worked, okay? And then you can tell me if that's a good idea. Because radio, when I first got into radio, there were thousands of owners of radio stations. Most of them owned one radio station or maybe two radio stations. And the strong survived. Everybody had to hire really good radio shows to go on the air, get good ratings, to get a following. That way they can afford advertisers, and that's how radio worked. Well, then deregulation, everybody fought for deregulation, and they deregulated a little bit in the late 80s, a little bit more in the early 90s, then more in the mid 90s, and then even more in the early 2000s. And all of a sudden you went from having thousands and thousands of owners to having one company, being Clear Channel, that owned thousands of radio stations. And as soon as these companies started gobbling up radio stations, you went from having a company that could have one radio station in a city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now they could have like 6-7 radio stations in a city. You, at one point, say there were 14 radio stations in a city.
there were anywhere from 9 to 14 owners. And every single owner had all these people working there, all right?
Okay.
For example, when I worked in Peoria in the early 90s, I'll use that example. The station I worked for was WWCT. They had a morning show, which was myself, my partner, our producer, street guys. We had a whole crew. The midday guy on after us was also the a program director. Then there was another guy that did like noon to 3 who was also the production director. Then from 3 to 7 was the afternoon guy who was also the music director. 7 to midnight was the night guy who was also the assistant music director. And then midnight to 6 there was another live guy. So right there, just for on-air people, you had one. You had 5 people on my show, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on-air staff, plus 3 part-timers, 13 people hired by the radio station that were working on air, as well as a sales staff of about 8 people. So that's 21. Management, you had about 25, 30 people working for that radio station. Now, you had in Peoria at the time, I think there were 8 stations in Peoria, 8 or 9 stations, you had almost 250 people employed in that town doing the job of just radio. After deregulation, there is now companies that own 4 radio stations. And they have syndicated morning show. They have a guy voice tracking middays, voice tracking afternoons. They'll have voice tracking overnights and a syndicated show in the night. So you'll have like maybe one person working on one station. You've got companies that have 4 radio stations where you'd have 25 people working at one radio station. You'd have maybe a dozen people working total for all 4 of your stations.
What's the problem with that?
The problem is that it costs jobs. And what they did is they hoard their product out so much that the rates, you got in the early 90s and mid-90s for advertising on my shows, advertisers paid upwards of $100 a commercial. And the effectiveness was so great, you would buy that $100 commercial. That's for one commercial. And it would be so great that all the listeners would go to your business, you'd make money on it, and they had no problem paying that much. Now you have radio companies selling commercials for $12.
Okay.
The problem. The problem is, and by the way, nobody shows up to the business. I know for a fact the radio station doing a pretty nice giveaway had a remote broadcast and 2 people showed up the other day. 2 people.
Ooh, that's a killer.
2 people. It's become so unimportant. What I'm saying is the business watered itself down so much.
Well, in that case, the companies that did that will fail. That's the thing. Clear Channel's not too big to fail.
But Gorilla, they now have ruined the industry. The industry's ruined.
It will come back if it's popular.
That's the thing. It won't. I don't think it will come back. I'm not sure radio's ever going to come back. They have watered it down to the point of I'm not sure that it will ever come back. God forbid that happens to banking. My point to you is radio might not exist as a medium. We might, 5 years from now, we might not have radio stations in this country. We might not have radio stations.
I don't listen to radio. It's not that big of a deal to me.
This is what I mean. Look at how unimportant it has become to you. At one point in your life, I'm sure you listened to it. Now you can care less. You couldn't care less. You're like, screw radio. That's like me. I don't listen to radio. I listen to podcasts. I listen to iPhone apps. You know, there are little things like that I'll listen to instead of listening to local radio. They've made themselves so unimportant. They've watered themselves down so much that the industry as a whole is on the verge of not existing anymore.
But you know, at that point, it will come back with smaller companies starting locally.
But maybe
it's cyclical.
But it might not at all.
See, that's the problem I'm finding with it, is that things like this are cynical. Okay, Citibank fails.
Come back.
Citibank fails, you know, and takes Wells Fargo with it for just throwing this out there. Then, you know, the customers that went there will still have to bank somewhere. They'll go somewhere else.
But what happens, but listen, what happens, Gorilla, is when everybody has to use one product or one business, that's when they get you. All these hidden fees, all of these, you know, you've got hidden fees on ATM purchases, hidden fees here or there. What happens is the consumer gets screwed.
Or you could just do it like me and do everything in cash. There's no reason why you have to go to a bank.
The consumer gets screwed. Sure, if you need loans to get something, you have to use a bank.
Yeah, you are in the minority. No one pays
you
cash.
And you got to start thinking of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is what we need to start thinking about. We need to stop thinking about our own individual pocketbooks. CEOs need to stop thinking about their individual share price. People need to start thinking of the big picture. Radio shrinking not only hurt the radio industry, it hurt the economy. How many people don't have jobs? How much less money is that going into the economy? Every time I see these jobs being outsourced, it scares the hell out of me. Every time I see a major company or industry sending jobs away, do they not realize that at some point the people who buy your product aren't going to have the money to buy it because nobody has any damn jobs? It really is scary stuff.
So you're seeing the third part of the cycle,
no,
saying that it won't swing back around.
It won't.
Okay.
Gorilla, we're in a mode in this country where the cheese is being watched by the rats. Okay. The rats are going to eat the cheese.
Okay.
You can't have them in charge of it. We need more regulation. We need regulation in this country to ensure that the...
Yes, we need the government to tell business how to do business.
No, we need the government to tell business how to do business fairly is what we need.
What's so unfair about what they're doing?
Because right now the bigger companies make all the decisions. Do you really think some guy with a small business has the money to lobby Congress? Do you honestly think anyone just starting out has the money to lobby Congress? They don't. It's unfair. It is unfair.
Okay. The thing here is that what they need to do is just stay the hell out of business.
No. Listen,
from the front and from the back.
They need
You stay out of the business, first of all. You don't regulate them. You don't tell them how they're going to do their business. And then when they screw their business up, you don't bail them out.
What happens is...
It's both sides. I'm on both sides.
The bigger companies will always gobble up the smaller, and the bigger companies will get more powerful. I'll be honest. I'm not sure right now that there isn't big money controlling everything.
Oh, are you on like this Bilderberg group thing now?
No, I'm not. Maybe not Bilderberg group, but I'm saying I'm not sure that they don't. I mean, the Supreme Court just had a ruling that says they can do unlimited campaign finance.
That's right.
You've got these people giving Mitch McConnell money. And now all of a sudden he wants to halt bank reform. I'll tell you something. I saw this Max Baucus, who I've never been a fan of Max Baucus. I don't know if anybody got a chance to see the front line last night about the amount of campaign contributions this guy got from the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical lobbyist. Oh, my God. Somebody needs to look into this for this healthcare reform. If you get a chance to watch the front line,
you'll say that healthcare companies and pharmaceutical makers, they can't donate, but a union can donate.
No, you can donate. You can donate.
Right. So the union is an entity.
There's nothing wrong with donating. There's nothing wrong with donating. You must put caps on it.
For everybody, not just business.
And right now is when you should blame did you hear about Rush Limbaugh, by the way? blaming the union on the West Virginia mine accident when it turned out it's a non-union mine.
Way to go.
You had a chance to hear that. That's brilliant.
I'm a member of a union that donated over $30 million to Obama's campaign.
Right.
Which, by the way, is not legal. They can't take my campaign contributions.
Well, then why did they do it?
Because what they did was they set up, what do they call those?
If it's not legal, why did they do
They set up a something. It's called a 530 something, mm-hmm. which is a not-for-profit community action group.
Then do something about it.
There's nothing I can do about it. What they did was they funded the money from the...
So then it's not illegal.
Okay.
So then it isn't illegal.
So what they did was they channeled my union dues to this other company and then gave it to Obama.
Thank God. I hope that it was your money that actually put him over the top. I really do. I hope it was actually the money
that they took.
I hope it was the money that they personally took from your dues. That was the dollar bill that put him over the top. Because I would sleep better at night knowing that.
Over the top of $800 million spent for a job that pays $1.2
million? I would love it if your contribution was the one that put him over the top.
I'm sure.
That's what I'd like to see. Let's see. What else did I want to get into today?
I had one I wanted to get to today.
We got so serious at the end that we.
You want to talk about losing jobs in America, Ray? Prospect Harbor, Maine, the last U.S. sardine can was being packed. Cannery for sardines, it was 135 years old, and they closed the doors.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
Where are they now?
U.S. sardines.
Where are they packing them now?
China and Thailand.
Goddamn China.
Stealing everything.
The Chinese.
So if you want your sardines, they're
Chinese.
We
don't have any manufacturing in this country. I mean,
let's get racial profiling on the manufacturer.
Let me just move on. Larry King getting a divorce.
Good for Larry King. Is he doing this in a move to see if he can get that was Sandra Bullock?
I guess everybody for years has been saying that his wife's been cheating on him. But they're saying that he's got divorced because he was the one that was cheating.
Wow.
Somebody's accused. I don't know if this is craziness or not, but they're saying he was having an affair with his wife's sister.
Whoa. Nice. That's a dark horse, that.
I don't know.
What a guy.
I don't know. Sandra Bullock. They're saying Sandra Bullock's probably going to do. This is interesting. On Conan O'Brien's first night.
It's September, right?
Yeah. They're saying that she will probably, it's going to be November, but they're saying that she's probably going to do George Lopez's show will be her first public appearance. She's going to be a guest at George Lopez's show. And it will be somewhere around the time where Conan O'Brien is going to be starting or something. But that does seem like a long time away, doesn't it? That seems like a long time to wait. Elin Nordregan looks like she's definitely divorcing Tiger Woods. Like that marriage is not going to be saved.
Good. Then Tiger can go out and get all the strings he wants.
Right. And it'll be nobody's business.
Tiger Woods is my hero, by the way.
If she ends up divorcing him, like he can't, you know, because obviously he did this whole sex addict thing just to keep her from divorcing him. If she divorces him anyway, don't you think there's a part of him that's going to go, damn it? I went through that for nothing. I ain't gotten any since Thanksgiving, and the bitch is still divorcing me.
On a bender.
Mel Gibson was married for, 30, 40 years or whatever? It seemed like forever. He was married to his wife, remember? And then he had an affair with Oksana Grigorieva. I'm pronouncing
it. Who's that? She hot?
She was a 20-some-odd-year-old girl he had an affair with, got her pregnant. Ooh. He left his wife for her. And so he ended up marrying.
Why would
he divorced?
That?
He divorced his wife, and ended up with this Oksana Grigorieva. And I don't know if they ever married or not.
Is she still with her now?
Well, she had his baby, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the baby's 5 months old, so they've been together that long.
Wow.
They announced today that he has broken up with her. I got two reports. Wait. Two reports. One report says he was fooling around in Mexico while on the set of his new movie. And a second report says he's banging his ex-wife, who he's got the seven other kids with.
Oh, he's a dark horse. So he really is.
So
he probably left.
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of celebrities having an affair, Matthew Fox, who plays Jack Shepard on Lost, was accused of having some kind of illicit affair with a stripper.
Go, Jack.
Fox has been married to his wife for 20 years.
How old is that guy? He doesn't look
Matthew
that
Fox
old.
Is 40. Matthew Fox is my age.
He doesn't look as old
in
as
fact,
you, right?
His birthday is close to mine. We're the same age.
Yeah, doesn't look anything
Matthew
like
Fox and I are the exact same age. Don't we look it? He's 40. He's 43 years old.
Wow.
Matthew Fox. It came out a few months ago that the stripper said that she was having sex with him.
Not that big of an accomplishment. Have you met any strippers lately?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to a strip club in a long, 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 long time. So anyway, this came out, and everybody was like, oh, God, he's going to get divorced too, blah, blah, blah. In the new Playboy interview, he is the interview subject. And he says, he goes, listen, that story is completely untrue. He talks about why nothing came of the story by basically saying that it's untrue.
Wow.
Says he's been with his wife. He's still with his wife. He did not have any affair with a stripper. The story's a total lie, and so there. And so you wondered why they didn't. You wondered why they didn't break up, he and his wife, after this came out.
I liked him more when he had sex with a stripper, though. I like him less now.
Verizon Wireless is in trouble because in a recent ad, they boast that they offer coverage in more than 220 countries.
Wow.
Would somebody like to venture a guess as to why this is wrong?
Because there's only like 160 countries in the world.
There's 192, actually.
Oh.
Can you hear me now?
It invented countries.
Can you hear me now? There's only 192 countries. So their ads that they ran that said that they have coverage in the United States and more than 220 other countries would be a lie.
Oops.
And last but not least, to end the show, I'd like to give a piece of advice to the people that are going nuts over what is obviously a very, very important thing happening in the world. And that is Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, God.
If I have to see one more person ranting and raving about this Kate Gosselin not being kicked off of Dancing with the Stars, I will jump into the computer like Stan Marsh did on the South Park episode, go into Facebook, and beat the hell out of somebody. People. You have to stop. It's a ridiculous television. By the way, I don't understand anyone that watches that show.
It sounds awful.
I can't.
I second that motion.
You know what? I can understand a lot of TV. I can understand people being addicted to a lot of things. I understand I understand golf and NASCAR.
Cigarettes.
I understand so many things. I understand why you do it. Might not be my cup of tea, but I understand it. I even understand American Idol.
How do you understand that?
Somewhat.
That's just as bad.
Well, but I can see why people are so addicted to it. But dancing with the... Seriously.
It's awful.
First of all,
dancing
with is
the
not a star.
Stars? For being a show called Dancing with the Stars, why do you not have any stars on it?
No kidding.
Number two, people, if your life
dancing with the D-list.
If your life is affected by this show, you really, really need to get some help.
It's just tabloid television. That's all that is. White trash tabloid television.
Who, in the grand scheme of things, who really cares?
No one.
About... So, by the way, it's a miracle that woman could dance at all. I'm sure that vagina, that vagine is probably stretched out to here to Portsmouth with many children as she's had. Good
like
Lord.
Like a baby seal's flippers.
Good God almighty. The damage down there, it's got to be, shudder to think about it.
You know what show I miss? One of the reality shows I miss is the boxing one. And I want to see Kate Goslin versus the Octomom.
I am completely over reality TV.
Yeah,
I think it's time to... Listen, I read where the Celebrity Apprentice had the lowest ratings ever. Thank God! I see where American Idol's having lower ratings, not low, but lower than they've had. Thank God. But this Dancing with the Stars, this scares me. We need to move away from Dancing with the Stars and Biggest Loser and Survivor. We need to move away from all this crap. It's
the
time
best thing that,
to move on.
The best thing that ever happened to British television was when they told us we are no longer running Big Brother. It is crap.
It's time to move away from these people. Because now the stars are people who are known from reality television.
Like The Miz?
And the whole point of reality television was it was supposed to be regular people. People who weren't stars. Now I see this whore from Jersey Shore. People are paying her $3,000 just to show up at an event for an hour.
That's ridiculous.
You got to be kidding me. You've got to be... People, if you are concerned about Dancing with the Stars and whether or not Kate Goslin stays on it, please get yourself a life. That is my advice. Get yourself a life. Right, we got to get out. Boy, we're running so late. We got to get out of here. We ended up going long today. Oh, God. Craziness. All right, we're back tomorrow at 4:30. We'll talk to you then. Say goodbye, Gorilla.
Ray Lytle is not my baby daddy.
Say goodbye, Gully.
Happy Rose.
Later, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.